Jim to run Lee Eaton's farm, and Jim was there for about 2-3 years. But Jim's an entrepreneur.
Oh, I know.
Jim's a good thinker, and he's a good horseman, and he went out on his own and did really well.
Yeah,
well, he's, and a good guy.
Yeah. Well, see, there's a testimonial right there for you. I think he's fox hunting today.
Oh, he's a sportsman. Yeah, he's probably out there fox hunting. Now, he has a consignment at Phasic, so he better not be too long chasing the fox.
Okay. Okay. Maybe he's not today then. I just guess. He's one of the master at hounds at the Woodford Hounds.
Well, I didn't know that, but I know he's an avid hunter and used to be a heck of a show horse guy.
Is that right?
Yep.
I didn't know about that. Well, he's a good guy to know if you're thinking about getting into the horse business. Well, I would suggest that you get in touch with Jim Fitzgerald. If you're in the horse business, you're not doing too well. Well, he's a guy who can give you some good, sound, common sense advice. Here's his number, 987-8032, and Knock Griffin Farm is his website. Let me spell it for you, KNOCKGRIFFIN, farm.com. Righty. I'm talking to Riley McDonald right here, and of course he owns Eaton Sales now, outright owner. Started out, bought them out, and you're not selling anything in this October sale.
You know, I haven't done it for a long time, and for no other reason than we really like to concentrate between September and the November sales mm-hmm. on what we're going to be selling. So yeah, that October sales become very large in numbers.
Yeah.
And if you're not in the top 20% in that sale, you're either giving them away or you're taking them home.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a tough go. It's a real mixed barrel of fish over there. And I think better business for me to concentrate on November right now.
Mm-hmm.
I was just over there. There's some awfully nice horses. I heard you mention Notional earlier, and I stopped and actually pulled out two nice yearlings that I just happened to walk by, both by Notional. So he must be getting really good offspring right now.
They look good.
They really
do. I really like that sire line.
Yep.
It's not too many people around here. You know, Indian Charlie, he didn't get a whole lot of help starting out.
Yep.
But
that's for sure. And Notional's getting great yearlings, and a couple of those other stallions that they've, you know, they're taking a shot on, they're getting really nice.
His Wonderful's a run.
Yep.
He had a nice winner just yesterday, I think it was, at Belmont. Is it Laurel?
It's an interesting program that they've developed, and it will be interesting to see what the end results are. But It certainly is a novel approach to getting stallions started, and I'm actually participating in a few, and I think it's a great, great concept.
Okay. Which few, can I ask you?
Well, Line of David.
Okay.
It was one that comes to mind, and I have had two very nice foals by him. Temple City. Mm-hmm. I have two lovely foals by him from his first crop. So, you know.
Yeah, they're weanlings this year, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Well, what are you selling in November? What do you got coming up?
Well, I have some pretty good mares. I don't have the big hitters that we normally have had, but I've got some really good, solid upper-end mares that are in the sort of 4 to 7 range. And I have the best group of weanlings that we've ever put together for a horse sale. We're going to run a little ad next week, and if my advertising agent will let me, because I'm not sure if this concept, but I feel kind of like it's Keeneland July in November.
Mm-hmm.
They're that good. We've got everything from a half brother to Uncle Mo.
That one by?
That one is by Giant's Causeway, mm-hmm. and so we've got sort of 25 weanlings in that first couple of days that are knockouts, mm-hmm. and.
It's a Keeneland.
Yeah, it's a relatively, you know, unique thing to do to take that kind of horse over there, but we're going to give it a shot and hope we can hit the big numbers.
Yeah. Okay. How many weanlings you got in there?
Well, I'm not sure altogether. There are going to be, there may be about 40 altogether.
Okay. You breed horses. You breed yourself.
Yeah, I have, I keep all my mares out in Nathan's. It was a cattle farm. And people told me nothing like going on to a farm that's never been horsed before. So anyway, it was a cattle farm, and I converted it, and I had more fun doing it for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And that little farm with low stud fees going into my cheap mares has put out Daisy Divine, who just had a nice run
fairgrounds
at Keeneland
the other day. She won the stakes at the fairgrounds this year.
Well, she was second here in the ladies a couple weeks ago by a nose after a five-month layoff. And Visionaire, and, you know, it's put out a lot of nice horses for the 10 mares I keep there.
You breed anything to Visionaire? I think he's got...
I didn't, but he is a beautiful horse, and I'm going to go back from here to Fasig to look at some of the Visionaire yearlings that are
and
over there.
That would be his first crop.
Yeah, that would be the first crop.
Okay, Pope McLean's got one over there for sale in his consignment, a Visionaire.
Does he? I'll be looking at a few. He's a pretty horse, and, you know, he has every right to make us hire. You never know, though.
Yeah. How many mares you have of your own now, Riley?
Well, 100%. Everything on that farm I own 100%. So I have about 10, and it'll be 10 to 12 at any time. And then I own legs and another 10. So it's a very modest little breeding operation.
Sounds big to me.
Well, you know, the last 3 years have been pretty tough for a lot of people. And being a horse farmer, I think, has been very difficult on people. And there have been a number of people who've had to exit the business. You know, the big outfits stay alive because there are other sources of revenue driving them. But so I'm trying to keep it small, stay fairly select, and only breed the mares that are very attractive mares that throw good foals, because at the end of the day, that's what people want.
Yeah. How many acres you have in your farm down at Athens?
Athens, it's about 115.
Okay.
Perfect size. I just built another barn, and we're gonna do a lot of our yearling prep out there next year.
Okay. Now, these are your horses down there.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Because what do you do with the property right next to Fasig Tipton?
That's our commercial side of the business, and that's where we prep all the yearlings. Mm-hmm. We have the foals and the mares being prepped there now. And it gets a rest during the winter. We don't keep mares there any longer.
Yeah.
And then we start to load it back up. You know, we like to reload in April and get ready for the July, August, and September sales.
Yeah. Now, Lee bought that place originally, didn't he?
He did. Yeah. And, you know, I think at some point that place will be worth a lot. It's right on the edge of Lexington, and Mrs. Eaton owns that. We rent it from her. And it's a great setup. Lee set it up purely for selling yearlings. So it's got all the paddocks for colts you need. It's got the round pen, and that's all we do is prep.
How many acres in that little section?
About 120.
100, is it that big? I didn't know. Now, you've got Lee's old farm over on Mount Horeb, and right before you get to the creek.
Oh, it's a beautiful farm. He raised a lot of good horses on that farm, and I bought that farm. It was close to 300 acres, and had a little hiccup about 8 years ago when my wife traded me in, so I sold that farm to help settle that one.
Yeah.
And anyway, it was bought by two really lovely people who I've come to know well.
You sold the whole farm or just
I did. I sold it to the Yoshida family.
Oh, okay.
Great family, lovely people. Actually, we work with them in selling horses, and they've done very well. It's called Winchester Farm. They run a great operation, and just wonderful people to work with and very knowledgeable.
Winchester, I wonder why they named it that.
I don't know the derivation of the name Winchester for them, but of course, Marie is from France, and Naoya Yoshida is from Japan. Mm-hmm. So it's an international couple, and they're on a really good farm that throws off a lot of good horses.
Oh, yeah, that's a beautiful place.
Yeah,
that's where, of course, Lee lived there for years and years and years.
Oh, he did, yeah.
Yeah.
He sure did.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, I'm going to let you go. I know you're anxious to get out to sales.
Well, nothing like a sunny day in Kentucky. The sun's come out. It's getting warmer. Going to go out, look at good horses at the sales, and then go racing. You know, what could be better?
I don't know. Can't think of anything better. Riley, this has been Riley McDonald. Riley, thanks so much. I'm sorry it took you so long to come in, but, you know, every time I call you here, you were busy.
Well, now that I know you got these good donuts, I'll be back.
Oh, well, there you are. Have it. Grab a donut, Riley. It's Riley McDonald. Riley, thank you.
Thanks, Russell.
It's fun talking to you.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
All right. All right, well, Mooston Farr is compiling an impressive record for sighing hard-hitting winners. From 8 first-crop starters, 5 have won in another's place. Mathiba has won 5 times in Europe and has placed in listed stakes. Groom of Doom won a maiden special at Mountaineer, won again at the same track, and has placed on 5 other occasions. Fortune the Far won a maiden special and has placed five times, four times at Oaklawn. Ms. Mustin Far won a maiden special first time out and has two wins and a pair of thirds. Mukumar also won a maiden special, came back to take an allowance race and has been second four times. Must Be Safe placed third in her first start. She's just sitting on a whim. Now, for those of you who breed to race, Mustin Far just might be the answer to your prayers. He's sighing hard-hitting runners, and he stands for a very reasonable stud fee. A graded stakes winner at Belmont and at Keeneland, and grade one place, Mustin Far won over $625,000. He's by Sire Sire's Unbridled, and he stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stud manager Ken Barnes. Call him up and ask about that stud season. And see the website at ShadwellFarm.com.
To succeed at the races, you need an advantage. That edge is BristNet.com. Racing's number one website has the value-added information no one else has. In-depth trainer stats, detailed pedigree data, Brist class, pace, and speed ratings, free membership, handicapping contests, exciting monthly giveaway. For a true picture of how the race will be run, discover BristNet.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
Well, October 13 at Belmont, Boisterous, a five-year-old horse by Distorted Humor, won the grade $350,000 Knickerbocker Stakes for the second year in a row. Bred by Cynthia Phipps and trained by Shug McGahee, Boisterous won the grade 3 Fort Marcian, placed in the grade 1 Manhattan earlier this year. And in 2011, he won the grade 2 Red Smith at Aqueduct, the Three Corns Up Stakes at Belmont, placed in the grade 1 Sword Dancer at Saratoga, and he earned over $646,000. With earners of over $6,591,000, Distorted Humor ranked 6th on the 2012 sire list among stallions now at stud in North America. He's ranked among the top 10 seven times, including number one in 2011. Distorted Humor has sired the winners of all three Triple Crown races, among them the brilliant Drosselmeyer, winner not only of the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes, but of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic over the likes of Game On Dude, Harvey DeGraw, Flat Out, To Honor and Serve, and Uncle Mo. Drosselmeyer and his great sire both stand at Windstar Farm, and his first foals are due next year. For more information about the Windstar stands, get in touch with Jerry Duffy or Leanna Packard. See the website at WindstarFarm.com. Threatening to talk about $20,000 for the last 3 weeks, and I've never had time to finish it, but by golly, I'm going to this.
You do it, honey.
I'm going to do it.
Do it.
If I can find my material over here. He was a foal in 1928. He was by St. Germans, out of a mare named Bonus by All Gold, and he was bred and was owned by Green Tree Stables. And he was one of the best horses of the 30s. I don't know who would be better that year, probably maybe War Admiral.
Sure was famous.
A Gallant Fox, maybe, but I don't know if Gallant Fox was the measure of this horse or not.
That's another one that was in that kid's game. Gallant Fox.
$20,000.
$20,000.
Yeah.
And I guess Seabiscuit or
Jackie's
four.
Talking about a little game that you used to get with little toy horses that you
shake dice and roll the dice. And then they take a step up.
Yeah.
And, yeah. I carried the thing everywhere.
Yeah. And then they had the $20,000 brand of cigarettes. That I guess they kind of faded out. Well, anyway, he made his first start on April the 30th at Jamaica and won by 5. Then he came back and ran second. Didn't win a stake. He ran fourth in the Babylon, but then he won the Junior Champion Stakes up in October. That was at Aqueduct, and he beat Equipoise that day. And
that was the one that was in the Equipoise. That was the other one.
Equipoise was one of those.
Yes,
in
Equipoise.
Well, that's pretty good selection for him. Kurt Singer rode him in today. He won by nose, and you said that was a hell of a crop with Equipoise and $20,000. Two great horses in there. Of course, Equipoise went on to be an outstanding stud. He didn't live very long, but he was an outstanding stud. And $20,000 was got the St. Germans disease. He was sterile. He was second to Equipoise, got beat a half length in the Pimlico Futurity. Then he ran third in the Walden Stakes at Pimlico to Mate. Now, Mate was an excellent racehorse himself. Mate ran, he won the Preakness the following year, which prevented $20,000 from winning the Kentucky Derby. That was a year, one of the years, I should say, where the Preakness was run prior to the Kentucky Derby. Mate was full ride. Well, he went to stud right over here at Clarkland Farm on Bryan Station Road. Sweep All ran second. Sweep All was by sweep out of Nettie Hastings by Hastings. Nettie Hastings was also the name of a horse named Peter Hastings, who was by Peter Pan. And Peter Hastings was unraced, ended up in a remount up in Michigan, but he did sire Matahara, who was a champion two-year-old filly of her year in 1933. Let's see, after he beat Fenn ran third in the Walden, he won the Wood, beating Clock Tower and Camper. That of course was as a three-year-old, and he went into the Preakness where he got beat by Mate. Mate, incidentally, was third in the Derby. That was the next start for $20,000. He won the Derby by 4 lengths, set a new track record of 201-4. It stood until Whirl Away broke it in 1940. Sweep All ran second, and Mate ran third. Came back and he won the Belmont by 10 lengths, beating Sun Meadow and Jamestown, who later sired a real top horse named Johnstown. Then he won the Dwyer under Kurt Singer again, and as a three-year-old, of course, beating Blenheim. That's not Blenheim the second, but this is a horse named Blenheim. It went to stud in Virginia. Ran third in the Arlington Classic to Mate in Spanish Play. Then he came back at Saratoga and he won the Travers, beating St. Bardot and Sun Meadow. And also that year he ran three more times. He won the Saratoga Cup by 10 lengths over Sunbow, who was the champion handicap horse that year. He was by Sundridge. And, of course, this was a weight for age race. No, it wasn't either. Yeah, that'd be fine.
Whatever you like.
All righty.
Yeah, whatever you like. Yeah, it's going to be a gorgeous day at Keeneland today. I'm going to try and stay as long as I can. I'm going to go home and check on a few things, then try and sneak over, at least get the feature.
Okay, yeah, all right. Well, bet throw 20 on the ground for me, will you?
Oh, I will, Ursula. I like your handicapping methods. You know, go to the window to bet a horse that you like. You get distracted, and all of a sudden you go to the window and you bet a different horse. That's a new one on me. I like that. I'm collecting these stories.
Leave it to me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's too bad because, you know, Shepherd's horse, Jonathan Shepherd's horse, and he helps old friends a lot, too, Jonathan Shepherd.
To compound the, you know, add insult to injury, he ran one in the second division, so we just say we're going to bet a little bit on this one, which we should have known better. He wasn't going to win them both. And it ran fourth. It ran a good race, though, you know.
Vincent Super.
He's a Jackie Bet, some kind of a super. She just choked on an apple over here. What? Now what?
I thought she was choking on all the money she made.
Pardon? She didn't.
Oh, she didn't.
No. Only thing we got out of it was a free meal.
Jonathan Shepherd is a great guy. When I was working for the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, I was sent over to the racetrack to beg for money on TRF's behalf. That's where I did my early training.
Uh-huh.
And I went to Jonathan Shepherd, and he says, "Come back in a half an hour." So I come back in a half an hour, and he gives me 5 brand new $100 bills.
Oh my goodness!
And he says, "Please don't tell my accountant." He made me promise I would never do this again.
Okay. All right.
But I think the statute of limitations is up. That was in 2002, so I think it's up. I think he's okay.
Yeah,
he's a very generous guy and a great horseman.
All right. Well, Michael, we'll let you go. Is the horse going back to the farm, back to old friends? Or
Yep. He'll be there. Should be there now.
Should be there now. You're going back now, too, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well,
Russell, thank you so much.
Okay, Michael. Have a good one.
You too, buddy.
All righty. Well, the October Fall Yearling Sale at Fazy Tipton, Kentucky starts Monday. And there are five youngsters by first defense, five more by mizzenmast in the sail. There are a whole lot of good reasons why you should look them over. The first foals by first defense are running. He is the sire of Dundonnell, one of the highest regarded juveniles in Great Britain. Broke his maiden by a dozen lengths. Then he won the Grade 3 Acorn Stakes and was a closing second in the Grade 2 Champagne Stakes. And he's nominated for the, I believe he's supposed to run in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Grass over here. So there you go. Another promising two-year-old by first defense, Silver Strike, won first time out on knockup of five in a maiden special right here at Keeneland. And then Mercadona won impressively on October the 10th up at Woodbine. One of the best bred young sires in the world, first defense, a grade one stakes winner. He's by Unbridled Song out of grade one winner, Honest Lady, a half sister by Seattle Slough to Empire Maker. So it's a great sire pedigree. Mizzenmast, of course. Well, what can you say about him? One grade one stakes himself, beside three grade one stakes winners. He's got five stakes winners this year. He's stakes winners at distances from 6 to 10 furlongs, stakes winners on dirt, grass, artificial. Both first defense and mizzenmast stand at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Gary Rourke or Aaron Fry. Take a look at the website, judmont.com. All right. You better stop eating that apple over there.
I finished.
You did. You keep choking on the darn apple. There comes Billy Mize up there on something. I know. Oh, that's you timing that horse for Jack?
He said he's just galloping
out. Just galloping? Okay. All righty. Talk about my good friend Tom Biedemann, Biedemann Brokers and Auctioneers. And give you his phone number, 277-2030. And that website is BiedemannBrokerage.com, B-I-E-D-E-R-M-E-N, brokerage.com. That's a great website. I love that website. Go on there and look at all these wonderful farms that they've got for sale out there. There's a couple of them close to us, Jackie. One right there on Clay Kaiser. Was it signed, say, 112 acres?
No, it's more like 156, I think.
156.
It's got 111 over on Greenwich. I always get them mixed up. Isn't that where he's got 111?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah, on Greenwich.
Yeah.
Good land right over
in
there.
It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous really
land.
Nice.
But he's got, well, there's a beautiful place over on Pisgah Pike, Brittany Farm. It's over 700 acres there. It's just turnkey. You just walk in there. But just 3 miles to Keeneland. And it's
price of gas, you can walk your horse down to run.
There you go. You certainly can. Got a place over on the Long Road, 12 acres on a gorgeous house over there. You need to really look at these things. One over in Midway, several of them over in Midway. One over on Troy Pike and Versailles. That's a gorgeous place. It's 75 acres. That's Elmwood Farm. Beautiful farm property. It's located just outside Versailles. And the house on it, just a stunning residence, you know, and it's priced right. And, well, Tom is a guy that you'd like to deal with. What was that? What's that one?
This one's 376 Weisenberger Mill, and it's got a really, really gorgeous historic Greek Revival residence in Midway, 8 acres, known as the John Graham House. Boy. Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah. It's in great shape, too. See? I'll hold it up to the...
Yeah, there you go. Well, anyway, Tom's microphone. A great guy to do business with. It's a wonderful firm. You've got some great people working for him. And Tom's somebody you can trust. And believe me, if you're looking for a specific kind of farm, he'll get it for you. And if you're looking to list one, well, nobody does a better job of selling them than Tom. That's Tom Biedemann. Biedemann Real Estate and Auctioneer, 277-2030. Well, there is a long list of solid stakes horses at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. That said, better take a good look at their consignments to the October yearling sales over at Fays and Tiffin, and keep in mind that they've been raised the right way. That's one thing you can count on. They know what they're doing over there. They've raised so many good horses. They've raised them the right way. And, of course, that sale starts just this coming Monday. They're in Barn C. Got some colts. Got a colt by Malibu Moon, by First Samurai. Both those horses are doing great. By Heat Seeker and Visionaire, and a filly by Giacomo. He's got 14 stakes horses, 7 stakes winners in his first crop. Malibu Moon, of course, is currently ranked 8th on the sire list. And hip number 632 is out of a young producing half-sister to a graded stakes winner, and that's Vestry Lady. First Samurai is the sire of Executive Privilege. She's the favorite for the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. And hip 635 is a half-sister to the graded stakes winner, Madeo. Heat Seeker is a young Grade 1 stakes winner millionaire by Giants Causeway. Kentucky Derby winner Giacomo, as I said, is the sire of 14 stakes horses, 7 stakes winners in his first two crops. And the first foals by Grade 1 winner Visionaire yearlings this year. So once again, they're in Barn C. And while visiting, ask about the wide variety of services available at Crestwood Farm. Good farm to know. Check the website, crestwoodfarm.com.
All right.
Jackie's going to do some announcements. Fasten your seatbelts.
Are you sure? I'm going to do some announcements. Let me open this thing today. This is kind of fun. There's going to be a community tax sale Sunday, November 4th from 11 to 4 at Masterson Station's Indoor Arena. Winter blankets, boots, pads, clothing, even saddles. That's nice. You're welcome to come and sell your stuff. You man your own table, make your Christmas money early. Just come to hang out if you want. If you're interested or you need more information, call Christine Brown or catch this, cbeaniebrown at aol.com. B-E-A-N-I-E. C, letter C, beaniebrown at aol.com. They have a lot of stuff at the horse park. For Halloween, they have a headless horseman and pebbles and Bam Bam, whatever that is. Anyway, that's the Flintstones. Oh, okay. Thank you over there, television person. It's going to be on Sunday, October 28th at 2 afternoon. They dress horses up in scary costumes. That would scare me right there. Dress a horse up. And the Horse Park Campground has a Halloween campout over two weekends, 19th to the 21st and the 26th through the 28th. All right, campers have a frightfully good time. They have costume awards, trick-or-treat, kids' crafts and stuff. That's sponsored by Northside RVs, Halloween Express, and the Kentucky Horse Park Foundation. If you're interested or you want reservations, 259-4257. That's at the horse park. Let me open this. Ah, Kathy Murphy, good friend, and absolutely love her. She's wonderful. Her Kathy Murphy stables are there. She's having a hunter pace Sunday, October 28th at 1 o'clock. She's at 660 Grimes Mill Road, which means you go out Athens Road and head that way, and when you find Grimes Mill, just look. They're going to have Haunted Hurdles Pace for jumpers, the Zippy Zombie Pace. I don't know. I guess that's probably for old people. I don't know. No, this is for me. Creepy Crawly Pace. That's me. Costume Class. I could do that, too. And Lead Line Hunter Pace. It's $30 a fee or $40 for two classes. Lead Line's $10. It's a lot of fun. Hot dogs and chips. A portion of this goes to benefit St. Jude's Children's Hospital. So that's Kathy Murphy's Sunday, October 28th at 1 o'clock. All right. The Horses and Hope. This is the First Lady's. She loves it. This is her big cause, a cancer. She's a big supporter of women's cancer functions and raising money. But anyway, they're going to have a free all-day mammogram screening and health fair for the employees of Keeneland and surrounding horse farms Monday, October 22nd. That's this Monday at the Keeneland Sales Pavilion. Pavilion. I just skipped the line. Keeneland Sales Pavilion, and it will be from 8:30 to 4. Free at low-cost mammograms for eligible women. So Jane Beshear does a whole lot of stuff like that. She had that trail ride out there, and everybody wore pink and all that good stuff. Celebration of the Horse, presented by Great American Insurance, Friday, October 26th. That's next Friday. Once again, Keene Barn and Entertainment Center, benefiting the Jason Grayson Jockey Club Foundation. Oh, Cocktail Hour Entertainment by Arthur Hancock Ivey, owner of Willie's Locally Known down here on North Broadway. And dancing.
Ivey, aren't you getting fancy?
Okay. Number four. Arthur Hancock, number four.
Long line of Arthurs.
Arthur, yeah. Dancing to the music of Super Effecta. Buffet live auctions. Tickets are $150. Casual attire. But like I said, $150, I'm dressing up. I'm going to go in there with jeans. Pay $150.
I'd almost pay it not to dress up.
Exactly. Anyway, if you're interested, you need to get a hold of somebody. Here you go. Nancy Kelly, 212. She's vice president of development of the Jockey Club. So that's 212. That's New York.
Mm-hmm.
And 521-5305. Or I'll tell you what, just you can Google the Jockey Club, New York City. The Brisnet.com, one of our sponsors, is having the ultimate Breeders' Cup handicapping package for $25. You get preview, division analysis, pre-entry, ultimate past performances, spotlight selections, national turf workout report, and a win factor report. Go to Brisnet.com.
Boy, that's a great outfit, isn't it?
Aren't they good?
All the information they have on there. I couldn't do a show without them.
Yeah.
I really couldn't.
You'd have to make them up.
Many, many years ago, I had switched over from Associated Press, which was awful. Ooh. You had to deal with those people up in New York.
New York, I know. They used to throw stuff in the floor. On the basement, and then nobody ever find out what it was.
Well, that's the Jockey Club you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Oops.
No. I'm talking about getting my race results for the show that I used to do.
Oh, yeah, off the AP wire. Oh.
Yeah, and if you ever miss something, you call up and try to get a result, and boy, they give you a hard time.
Nasty.
Yeah,
they were nasty. So, what do you want?
So, finally,
New York.
Happy Broadbent rescued me. And set me up with a computer. All it was a printer, you know, and it would print off the results and everything like that. But, boy, what a change that was.
I know.
Yeah, I know. And now, you know, I do all my research on that thing. And what I like is if you go to get their charts or PPs, they're just like what prints in a racing form.
Yes.
And the old-fashioned type, and I love it, you know. I mean,
yeah. All just crammed with information.
Yeah, of course, they don't print charts in a racing form anymore. But
standards have fallen.
Well, they give you, if that lady hadn't stolen my racing form yesterday, I think there's something like past performances for 8 tracks. And, you know, that was, and we didn't used to be able to do that. You'd get maybe 4.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he had all the charts and everything in there.
But, that's true.
But you can go to Briss and get everything. It's a great outfit.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Woodford Hounds 2012 Cross Country Trials are tomorrow, starting at 11, at the kennels. Now, the kennels are, if you take Harrodsburg Road and go all the way out, you go down and cross the river, and you climb back up the other side, and you drive a couple miles. Right before you get to Shakertown on the right is Dean Road. It's by an abandoned old gas station. It looks like the gas station must be 100 years old. It's one of those little ones, you know. It looks like it's got a porch on it. Anyway, it's right there. That's where you turn right to go down to the kennels.
That would be 1912. It was 100 years old.
It probably is. I'm not kidding. They had cars then. Didn't you tell me that? You lied. You lied.
Moving right along.
Anyway, it's going to be a fun thing. You have to jump a course, and some of it's timed, and some of it has gates to be open, and there's cross-country jump. And there's just all kind of stuff. Divisions are warm-up, no time, that would be me. Open, jumps not to exceed 3-3. Green, jumps not to exceed 2-9. Hilltoppers. Ride through a prescribed course, performing tasks along the way. Time section included. And they're even going to have a pairs class. That's a lot of fun. Gee whiz. I enjoyed that so much. Oh, let's see. We've got, CKRH. This is a big deal. What's today? The 20th?
Yeah.
27th. CKRH, that's Central Kentucky Riding for Hope's annual Halloween trail ride. Use tax sale and ride-a-thon. It starts, the check-in for the tax sale starts at 8 o'clock. Tax sale opens at 8 o'clock. And 9 to 3, the trail ride is open. It is more fun. They really have a big crowd, especially if the weather's nice. Mm-hmm. It's a fun thing. If you want to donate, please donate use tack. It's a good moneymaker for them. They'll take the tack up until October 26th. They'll even pick it up from your farm or wherever. Call them 231-7066.
All right. Well, Mustenfar is compiling an impressive record for sighing hard-hitting winners from 8 first crop starters. 5 have won and another's placed. Muthiba has won 5 times in Europe and is placed in listed stakes. Groom of Doom won a maiden special at the Mountain. Won again at the same track, and he's placed on 5 other occasions. Fortune of Far won a maiden special and is placed 5 times. 4 times at Oaklawn. Ms. Mustenfar won a maiden special first time out and has 2 wins and a pair of thirds. Mukamura also won a maiden special, came back to take an allowance race, and has been 2nd 4 times. Must Be Sweet placed in her 3rd start. She's just sitting on a win. Now, those things are repeat winners. And so, for you, those of you who are breeding to race, Mustenfar could be the answer to your prayers because he's siring hard-hitting runners, and he stands for a very, very reasonable stud fee. He's a graded stakes winner, won graded stakes at Belmont and Keeneland. He placed in grade 1 stakes, got beat less than a length in the grade 1 Gulfstream Park handicap. He won over $625,000, and he's by the sire's unbridled. Stands over at Shadwell Farm. Give stallion manager Kent Barnes a call at Shadwell Farm and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. All righty. Quillen Leather and Tack, my good friends. Ralph Quillen, good friend, and great tack shop. And where are you going, Jackie? She just got a phone call, left me here all alone. Anyway, it's a great tack shop. It's a great gift shop, too. It's so good, and it's so much fun to go in there and look around, just browse around. The tours now, like Bluegrass Tours, Nose Tours, they take tourists by there all the time. It's down in Paris, Kentucky. It's if you're coming in from the Lexington area, just go straight in. Do not take the bypass. Just keep going straight. Go to the 4th stoplight and look to your left and turn left, and there's parking behind it. You can't miss it. It's going in and look things over. It's got gift shops for kids and people, older people, and it's they're the greatest, best tack shop around. No two ways about it. The Nason's largest custom halter shop. Over 17,000 halters a year that they send out, that they ship out. Well, worldwide. And they take care of our good friends over good friends and everything. It's Ralph Quillen, Quillen Leather and Tack. And the website is quillen.com, QUILLIN.com. Well, delegation wire-to-wire winner of the 9 furlong grade $350,000 Durham Cup at Woodbine last Sunday is the 19th 2012 stakes winner by Sprightstown. 8 of the 19 have won graded stakes. and two have won grade one stakes. Now, Delegation was bred in Kentucky by Tom and Elizabeth Baxter. He sold for $150,000 at the 2011 Phasic Tip in February sale. Trained by Mark Cassie, and he's won four wins from six starts and never been out of the money, and he's earned over $250,000 now. Spitestown is the sire of the winners of over $8,200,000 in 2012 to rank second on the list of leading sires, and he is the number one ranked sire by North American earnings. Joining Spitestown among the leaders on the sire list are Distorted Humor, who ranks sixth among sires, now at stud in North America. Tis Now, 11th, 8th by North American earnings, and the nation's number one ranked freshman sire, Spring It Last. So for more information about the Windstar Stallions, get in touch with Jerry Duffy, Leanna Packard, 873-1717. See the website at windstarfarm.com. Dear.
The horse right here.
All right. I have an interesting story. You know, Sally Van is one of our sponsors, and they do so much free good stuff for such good causes. And one of them is the Acceler Fund. Now, the Acceler Fund mostly deals with horses off the racetrack, but they had a call from somebody in Tennessee who had a 27-year-old thoroughbred stallion. They think it's the oldest last secretariat horse. And these people, I don't know how they got a hold of the horse, but the horse has been in the stall for 7 years. And they started calling around and said, anybody want this horse? And everywhere they called said, put him down, until they got to the Acceler Fund. And Nicole Smith, who's a volunteer executive director, just couldn't do it. You know, she said, that's just give the guy a little poop. It's not going to live forever. Give him a home and we'll see what we can do. So good old Sally Van, Nicole Pierat, they call her Nicole. And she sent a single horse Van down there.
Because
he's a stallion, yes. And picked him up and brought him back. And now he is down at Kesmark. And they're doing his feet and his teeth. And they're going to go from one end to the other. Skinny. He's up on Facebook now, I saw. But they said he's a sweetie. He just seems to be the nicest guy. So he just needs a couple of years of turnout to spend his, you know, the rest of his life. But Sally Van just stepped right in there. Oh, okay, we'll go get him. You know, that's a lot of gas money. So also, I was talking to Lisa Malloy. Now, Lisa Malloy used to have New Vocations here, and she's her husband's government. I don't know. Maybe he was a spy. I don't know. Maybe he was something serious. But he's in the United States again, so they moved to Virginia. And over there, she is getting horses from Rerun and Akindale Rescue. They're all sending her horses that can be ridden and turned over new life, like she did with our filly that was out here, who's just doing beautifully. So I was talking to Lisa about it, and Lisa said she's going to send them a blanket, because over the years she's accumulated turnout blankets. Mm-hmm. Now, isn't that nice? Mm-hmm. See, people just come together. So anyway, it's the Acceler Fund, and they are going to start a fund called Golden Years Fund, I think. Geriatric specialties.
I could use one of those.
Yeah. And being turned out. There you go. You would be turned out on the golf course. But anyway, I think it's called the Golden Years Fund. I can't remember, but it is such a the Golden Years Fund to help geriatric thoroughbreds. So they're taking a part of their resources, mostly which had gone to horses right off the track, and they're doing that. So I just think that's kind of neat. I don't know what the Acceler phone number, the fund. Go to accelerfund.org if you want to help them, because it's a real, and they're almost all volunteers. This is one of those charities that does not pay themselves. You know, they do it because they want to help. This weekend at the horse park is Halloween camp out number one. P.M. H.A. Morab show. Not sure what P.M. Whew. See, there's not enough information on that webpage on the horse park. It's Arabs. There's an Arab show. Also, the Mid-South Challenge, which, saying Mid-South, that's probably Pony Club. That's tomorrow. The horse show goes through tomorrow. Mounted Games starts October 27th. October Fast Horse Trial is 27 and 28, near as I can make out. The really just irritates me to death. All Tech National Horse Show starts October 30th. I think it goes 6 days. Nobody, we were at a party yesterday where everybody was in the horse business, and I bet you I asked four or five people, have you heard anything about the National Horse Show? No. This show is, what is it, 100 years old? I don't know how old it is. It's the most prestigious hunter jumper show in the United States. They have the McClay Trophy, which is a good hands trophy for the best of the best. And I haven't heard anything about it, but there you are. It's coming.
Well, Notionals aside, the crack two-year-old stakes won a risky call in his first crop. Second in his debut, risky call then finished first in four straight starts, taking the Canadian juvenile stakes in his most recent, that was on October 8th. Notional is the side of 10 starters to date, 5 winners, including a stakes winner, plus 3 others to place, all 3 in their very first starts. Notional was a very good two-year-old himself, winning a maiden special at Santa Anita, 6 furlongs and 9 flat, placing in graded stakes, but he was really good at 3. In 3 starts, he won the Grade 2 San Rafael, the Grade 3 Risen Star, ran second to Scat Daddy in the Grade 1 Florida Derby. Then he came back at 4 to win the Grade 3 Salvatore Mile. Into Mischief and Tis Wonderful, fellow first crop sire standing at Spendthrift Farm, are also off to solid starts. Into Mischief is the sire of the highly promising Golden Sense, second in the Grade 1 Champagne on October 8th. And Tis Wonderful's My Happy Face was a hit bobbing second that same day to the undefeated filly Dreaming of Julia in the Grade 1 Frisette. And then yesterday at Law, while Billum, another two-year-old by Tis Wonderful, won a maiden special by 5 lengths in his very first start. Well, there are more runners by Notional, Into Mischief, and Tis Wonderful on the way. So you better book now for 2013. Call Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Fell, and Ned Toffee, 294-0030, and check the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at Prisnet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2 and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at Brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
Well, Cowboy Cal won stakes at 2, 3, and 4 every year he raced. In fact, he won a place in 13 stakes, 11 of them graded stakes, and he earned over $1 million. As a 2-year-old, broke his maiden at Belmont Park, sprinting a mile and 134 flat, and then he won the $125,000 Law Fortuity. He won the Bryan Station at Keenan and the Tropical Park Derby in Florida as a 3-year-old. And that same year, he placed in 3 other stakes, including the Grade 1 Bluegrass and the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby. Of course, the Bryan Station and the Tropical Park Derby were graded. At 4, he won the Grade 2 Stroop, sprinted a mile and 133 to take the Grade 2 Oak Tree Mile, won the Grade 2 San Pasquale, ran second in the Grade 1 Woodford Reserve Turf Classic at Saratoga's Grade 2 Bernard Baru, third in the Grade 1 Goodwood, and the Grade 2 Four-Star Dave. To sum it up, Cowboy Cal was a superior stakes performer for 3 consecutive years, and he has a great pedigree. He's by champion sire Giants Causeway out of the Seeking the Gold Mare Texas Tammy, a daughter of graded stakes winner and Grade 1 producer Not Novel. Cowboy Cal and the Stallions, Bob and John, Broken Vow, and Sky Classic stand at Pin Oak Stud. Inquiries of Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens. See the website at pinoakstud.com.
I'm heading
All right, Jackie, were you through with announcements?
I'm through.
You through with announcements? Okay.
I was going to say one thing else about Sally Van. They, of course, are the world's premier van company, la, la, la. We all know that. Well, you can get your trailer fixed out there. And I uncovered my trailer. First time in 4 years. Oh, my
word. Tell people what you mean by uncovered.
Oh, yeah. I had a cover on it because I had, with Betsy getting hurt and stuff, I had quit riding. And now I've decided at this, since I'm 39, I probably ought to start riding again. Otherwise, I'll never do it. And I'll sit in the old folks' home and say, why didn't I do that? So, I'm sure the brakes, they need packing and the blah, blah, blah. It needs a good workover. So I'm going to call Nicole Pierrette and haul it over there. But I'll tell you what, I bought a cover. And it's some kind of, I don't know if it's insulated or what, it's a great cover. It just cost about $80 or something. And that trailer looks as good when I took that cover off as it did when I covered it. You know, it was really a nice, it was a good thing to do. I'm surprised
covered
I did
a long
it.
Time, too. I mean,
4 years.
Yeah.
Surprised I had the gumption to do it. But I did it.
By yourself, too.
By myself.
All right. Well, I forgot to plug the winners from out here at the Thoroughbred Center. It's a little bit, it's been a little bit of a light month. We've had 15 winners so far this month. And, of course, it always lightens up a little bit when Keeneland starts. Didn't have anything last night. They canceled Hoosier after the third race.
Why?
The weather, bad weather.
Did it rain up? It must have rained a lot. I know it was real windy.
No, it snowed. Hell, I don't know.
It snowed.
I wasn't there.
Why does he? You know, he has a little fitsy about the oddest things.
Anyway.
And I was going to cook something really nice.
Well,
not anymore.
But the Golden Arches are still there.
They are.
Well, anyway, we've had 5 winners since the last week's show. And Keeneland winners are coming a little sparse. They always do, but we'll have 5 winners out of Keeneland. A bunch of seconds and thirds knocking at
good.
The door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Matt ran second, didn't he?
Matt Howard's horse from over at Gentry Farms ran second. Got beaten a photo.
Oh.
Yeah.
That stinks.
So, yeah, anyway. So, let's see. Since the last week's show, Thomas Short won down in Mountaineer with Pasteurize. Ted Lucas won at Keeneland with Moonshine Bay, excuse me. Tom Bergen won with Boys I'm Here at Mountaineer. Chuck Peary won with Discreet Treat up at Hoosier. And then Michael and Ann, I've always thrown that Ann in because everybody thinks it's a man. It's Michael Ann Ewing, went out of Keeneland with Song Girl. Michael is trains out here. She's from California. A lovely person.
Yes. She's been on the show, hasn't she?
Yeah, we've had her on the show. Yeah.
She's really nice. Yes. I think 2 of those names are brilliant. Pasteurized.
Pasteurized?
For a horse. For a horse's name.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking for it
clever.
Here.
You just said it. I think it's one of the first that you mentioned. Pasteurized and Moonlight Bay. As in bay horse. That's another one. I always wanted that one.
Oh, pasture. Yeah, it's P-A-S-T-U-R-E and then R-I-S-E. Pasture.
Pasture. Rise. Yeah, see, that's clever. Yeah. I like stuff that plays on words.
Other Keeneland winners this month, Paul Brown won with Charming She Is. That put us ahead for the meet if we stop right now.
Yeah.
That's a nice filly. Let's see, who else won out at Keeneland?
What does she pay? We bet 76, I think, or 73.
I forget.
I don't know. My last winner. Woohoo.
Yeah. Eduardo's won twice out there. He won out there on the 10th with Anilo, and then he won on the 12th with Queen's Award. And then let's see, where's the other Keeneland's one? Well, Michael Ewing's Song Girl and... Moonshine Bay. So that's 5. With that's Ted Lucas.
Oh, it's Moonshine Bay, not Moonlight. Yeah, Moonlight Bay. I'm reserving for myself.
You are.
I think it's a clever name.
Oh, Moonshine would suit me better.
No doubt.
Anyway, that's it's a slow month for us, and we are not used to that. We've got a colt going in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. I guess Troy Rankin is I'm bound to score. I think he's left. I think he left yesterday or day before yesterday.
They're driving him out. Just loaded him up, and off they went.
No, hell, it's at Santa Anita.
I know. Did the horse fly?
Horse flew.
Oh, okay. That's all I
know. Yeah, well, he was going to fly with him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because, you know, they pay his way. That was a win in your end race that he won up at the Summer Stakes up at Woodbine.
You mean when in your end they pay your shipping?
Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah.
Boy, they're a lot more generous than they used to be.
Well, I think they've been doing that a while.
That's nice.
We just, okay. Well, anyway, it's nice to have a horse from here.
Yeah.
Go up to there. Okay. Well, there are, let's see, 15 good reasons why you should take a good look at the yearlings by Majestic Warrior in the October sale at Fasig Tipton. That starts Monday. Majestic Warrior is the sire of 15 two-year-old winners in his first crop. Ranks number one in the nation in that category. The most recent, Declan's Warrior, in a maiden special yesterday at Belmont. So that was his 15th two-year-old winner. And the four have already earned black type, and with the earners of almost $650,000, he ranks second by money won among all first-crop sires. Majestic Warrior was quite a two-year-old himself. Won the Grade 1 $250,000 Champagne Stakes, and he's perhaps the most precocious son of Sire's AP Indian Stud. The Dam of Majestic Warrior, Dream Supreme, by Seeking the Goal, won six graded stakes, two of them Grade 1, and has earned over $1 million. His second dam, Spinning Around, won four graded stakes, including Grade 1. As a matter of fact, she won the Ballerina, as did Dream Supreme. And she's earned over $639,000. And with a pedigree like that, it's no wonder the Majestic Warrior is siring runners. Stands at Kumo's Ashford Stud. Check the website, kumo.com. And remember, leading sires, potential leading sires, only at Kumo.
When Jack and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
From the Toyota of Nicholasville studio, this is WLXG Lexington, ESPN, Sports Radio 1300.
Toyota Nicholasville, where price sells cars.
A Grade 1 stakes winner in Millionaire Creative Cause is to stand the 2013 season, Mr. and Mrs. Brad and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. Remarkably consistent, Creative Cause defeated every horse he ever raced against. That includes the likes of Bodemeister, I'll Have Another, Union Rags, Paintner, Hanson, Gemologist, Alpha, Doolahan. In fact, only once during his entire career did he finish out of the top three. That was in the Kentucky Derby when, after he was forced wide, eight wide, as a matter of fact, at the quarter pole, he was still beaten just three lengths for all the money. He was a crack two-year-old, winning first time out and then taking the Grade 2 Best Pal Stakes at Del Mar. He was beaten the length after a rough trip in the Grade 1 Del Mar Futurity, came right back and won the Grade 1 Norfolk Stakes. Then he ran third by a closing length in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile. At three, he won the Grade 2 San Felipe, and finished at the wrong time, and nodded at the wrong time, and dropped a nose decision to I'll Have Another in the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby. He also placed in the Grade 1 Preakness and the Grade 2 San Vicente. One of the best of his crop, Creative Cause, is by North America's leading sire, Giants Causeway. Out of the top-class race mare, Cream of Summer, winner of four graded stakes, including a victory over A Shadow and the grade one Apple Blossom. That's at Oaklawn Park. And he's going to stand his first season at stud for $15,000 live foal. Yesterday at Keeneland, division of the grade three Pin Oak Valley View Stakes went to Ms. Ida, a three-year-old filly by Proud Citizen. That was her third straight stakes win. For more information about the Airdrie Stallions, call Airdrie Stud at 859-873-7270. Check the website, airdriestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All right, well, we're starting the second hour here, and what am I doing with a chart in here? I have no idea. It's a chart of, in my notes here, of Hymnbook winning the Frank Poncho Martin Stakes yesterday. Hymnbook is by Arch out of Vespers, by Known Fact.
What's that then?
Bred by Stuart S. Janney III, of course, trained by... Claiborne Farm. I mean, foaled at Claiborne Farm, trained by Shug McGahee.
It's all Claiborne, whole thing.
You win by 5 3/4 lengths. That's the way to win a minute.
Where was this?
Belmont Park.
There you are.
Yeah, I just got it stuck in my notes here for some reason. All right. The for my good friend David Schweitzer over to KTA, I'm supposed to announce the Breeders of Kentucky bred stakes winners over the weekend, the last weekend, and 2 months rent won the Hawthorne Derby. That's grade three. 2 months rent bred by McCann and Associates and David Hager, who owns Idle Hour Farm right up here on the...
Yeah, nice guy.
On the Paris Pike, yeah. So what did we see, David? I saw him at the races the other day, didn't we? All righty. Let's see. Noble Tune. The Pilgrim Stakes, grade three at Belmont Park. Noble Tune was bred by Dale Ridge Farm. Moonwalk won the J.P. Morgan Chase Jesmond Stakes at Keeneland. And Moonwalk is by Malibu Moon, bred by Spendthrift Farm. And, of course, Malibu Moon stands over at Spendthrift Farm. He's got 65 stakes winners now. Eight this year. Let's see. Prospective grade two. Kawhi Katie, another top 2 year old. This grade two. Bobina grade three. Winding Way grade three. And now Moonwalk grade three. So Malibu Moon's having his usual year, which is outstanding. Top 10 sire. La Cloche. Got that right that time, didn't I?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Yeah.
Well, when you say something, then I try to. Yeah, it's a hat.
Okay, La Cloche, which according to my bride means the hat in some kind of language.
That there said French.
In French. The Athena Stakes, grade three, she won that at Belmont Park. And La Cloche is by Go Sapper, who sired a division winner of the division of the Pin Oak Stakes yesterday. Pin Oaks, what is the name of that race? Pin Oaks...
Valley View.
There you go, down there where the ferry is.
I viewed my money floating away from my bed.
Yeah. Well, we should have bet on this La Cloche, but we didn't.
You didn't.
I didn't. Let's see. The Boisterous won the Knickerbocker, grade three at Belmont Park. Boisterous is a distorted humor. He, too, having a great year. He's had 112 career stakes winners now. Can you believe that? Eight this year. Of course, Aesop's Fables is a grade one, group one, I should say, stakes winner over in France. And Cynthia Phipps is the breeder of Boisterous. And, of course, that would be foaled over at Claiborne Farm. And Shug McGahee trained that one, too. What else we got going over here for the Pebble Stakes at Belmont Park went to Peace Preserver, bred by Cherry Valley Farm, and is by Warfront at Claiborne Farm. Well, Claiborne had a hell of a day. Then, of course, Cherry Valley Farm is a division. Here comes my man now. Division of I don't know if it's a division of it, just a section of Claiborne, Cherry Valley Farm. When you go out the road, the Winchester Road there, it's on the right before you get to Claiborne, the entrance to Claiborne. That's Cherry Valley.
I thought Cherry Valley was on our road.
No, no, that's and Seth Hancock owns that thing. I think it belongs to Seth. The Ballerina Stakes up at in Canada went to class included, a 4-year-old filly by Include, bred by Michael and Amy Fuhrborn. Go get Riley, let Riley in there.
Okay.
The Breeders' Cup Premier's handicap grade 3 went to Commander. That's a 4-year-old gilding by Broken Vow, bred by Paragon Farms. Hey, Riley, be right with you.
Have a seat on the right.
Oh, right. Is that? Oh, yeah, that mic's working now. Good. We had problems with that mic. We saw you coming.
Most people turn the mic off.
The Surfer Girl Stakes at Santa Anita. Flashy Ways won that, bred by Chad Reed, another Kentucky bred. The Ascot Graduation Stakes in Canada, Glencoe, bred by Woodford Thoroughbreds. Glencoe Kid, it is. The Canadian Juvenile Stakes at North Park went to Risky Call. That's a Notional who stands over at Spencery Farm, First Crop. He is by In Excess, I do believe, who also happens to be the sire of Indian Charlie. I believe that's right. And bred by Winwood Farm and Will Roden. The Classy Mirage Stakes at Belmont. Kid Kate won that, 5-year-old mare, bred by Dale Ridge Farm. They had a pair of stakes winners over the weekend at Dale Ridge. They do a good job. The Freedom of City Stakes at North Park went to Silkworm, bred by Ferris Farm. And let's see what else. The Permian Basin Stakes at Winterbrook won that. Winterbrook went bred by Leonard Hill Farm. That's Susie Shoemaker, of course. The Robin Jen Stakes at Belmont. Beau Schwab won that, bred by Bell Meadow Stable and Lael Stables. And Tropical Park Derby went to, how would you pronounce this? C-S-A-B-A-S-I-S-B-A. Anyway, bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey. And Ken, if you named that one, I wish you hadn't. And named it that anyway. All righty. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to get Riley. What do you need?
Some money. I'm going up to the...
Lord of mercy.
Can't turn
she lost all her money to races yesterday. That's what the problem was.
I did. It was terrible. I took a beating.
You want something from the Gee-Dunk up there? No? You want a Coke? Okay. Well, Weanlings from the First Crop by Blaine will be sold this November. Take a good look. You're going to like what you see. Blaine broke his maiden as a 2-year-old at Keenan. The next year, he won the Grade 2 Clark Handicap at Churchill, beating Einstein and other top stakes winners. Won the Grade 2 Fayette at Keenan over Parading. Parading's a stable mate out at Claiborne Farm. He was a high-class graded stakes winner himself. And he also won the Curlin Stakes. At 4, he earned the Eclipse Award after taking the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic over Zenyatta, the Grade 1 Whitney over Quality Road, the Grade 2 Stephen Foster over another top field, and the Grade 3 Donald Schaefer Stakes. At one stage, he posted 9 consecutive 100-plus buyer speed ratings, including a 111 in both the Breeders' Cup Classic and the Whitney, and he earned over $4,368,000. Blames by Arch, out of stakes winner, stakes place liable by seeking the goal. Female family has already given us Saddler's Wells, newer yet. Stands over Claiborne Farm, of course, so does Arch. And yesterday at Belmont, the Frank Poncho Martin Stakes went to him book, and he is sired by Arch. So for more information about the Claiborne Stands, get in touch with Bernie Sams and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business, the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek, and the Clay Ward Agency. That's a winning combination.
Now, if you're in Lexington for the yearling sales at Fazy Tipton, Kentucky, here's a thought to keep in mind. You won't find a better place to start your yearlings on the path of the winner's circle than at Vinery in Florida. The facility is superb, the staff one of the finest ever assembled, and their record of sending well-prepared two-year-olds to the race is unsurpassed. The Vinery number here in Kentucky, 455-9388. Why don't you want to talk to John Gasper, Steve Castanola, Francis Rillihan, or Grant Williamson? And you're more than welcome to visit Vinery to inspect the stallions and to check out the facilities for rehab, for boarding, sales prep. Vinery is state-of-the-art facilities not only in Kentucky, but in Florida and New York. And they're prepared to give the finest care to your livestock from conception to the winner's circle. So once again, you're invited to visit Vinery, Kentucky while you're in Lexington, 455-9388, and see the website at vinery.com. I've got Riley McDonald on with me now. I've been trying to chase Riley down for the last 7 years. Finally, he finally slowed down to a pace. And anyway, he owns Eaton Sales. And if I'm not mistaken, you went to work for that sales company back when it was Eaton Williams.
It was Eaton Williams, Ursel, and it was probably back in early 1990s. And I bought a little piece of the company and bought Lee out a couple years later. He stayed on as a consultant for about 5 years and then bought John out in the early 90s as well.
I saw John yesterday, and he said that he had to hire you. Because Lee had gone to Florida and he was doing everything. He said he was running the farm, he was running the sales, he was doing everything like that. And he says, I've got to hire Riley because I need help.
They did need some help. And, you know, back in those days, that we were selling a lot of horses. And even after John left, we probably ended up selling twice as many as we had at that point. So John's a great horseman and learned a lot from both Lee and John.
They were top. Great horse.
Great guys.
Very fond of him. Lee passed away much too soon. Lee's been gone about 3 years now.
Yeah, I think closer to five.
Has it been that long?
He hung on. He had cancer. He hung on for 5 years, and they gave him 5 months. He hung on 5 years.
Sounds like Lee.
Yeah, that's Lee. He's stubborn.
Yeah. He started out with show horses.
He did. I don't know much about Lee's early history, but he was a show horse guy.
He came from West Virginia.
And he was a real thinker. I mean, he could have run any Fortune 500 company. He was that good a businessman. And he thought through everything he did, from whether to keep the yearlings out 24 hours a day and run in sheds, which he really promoted here.
He brought that back.
He changed the way we sell horses today. You know, he took it from the grooms coming from the farms to hiring professional show people and putting cards out and monitoring the buyers who were looking at the horses. And he just made so many big changes to the way you feed horses. And, I was very fortunate to get in on the tail end of that and have him mentor me a little bit.
Yeah, he was a perfectionist.
He was not.
He was. I was with him one day when the blacksmith was there. Poor blacksmith.
Poor blacksmith.
Yeah, he'd make, pick that foot up. Now, I want about two swipes of the rasp right here, right here.
Yeah.
That was Lee.
You know, that same blacksmith is still with us, Steve Norman. And I think Steve, as good as he is now, and the great thing about Lee, Steve, is he thinks he's pretty good. But I think Steve would be the first to say Lee really did help him as a young man and pick him up and probably learned a good bit from Lee when they were doing it together.
Yeah. Lee didn't make a musician out of him, though, did he?
No, Lee didn't do that for him. Okay. Steve did that all on his own.
All right. Yeah, well, and of course, John bought in. Didn't he buy Lee out, or did you buy Lee out?
I bought Lee out. John and Lee split the company up. They merged sometime before them, but I think they were both finding the workload was pretty heavy, and Lee wanted to work less. And so this is a nice opportunity for me. I'd been with Fazy Tipton for 10 years, and was ready to make a change, so it really was a win-win for everybody.
Okay. Where are you from originally?
I'm from Moncton, Maryland.
Maryland.
Population 800.
That's the reason John hired you. All you Maryland people stick together.
I'm not sure about that. I think I was the only guy out there that was still looking for work.
Oh, right. Was your family in the horse business?
No. My dad loves horses, and he likes to get on an old horse and go riding in the woods. And when we were growing up, four of us shared a pony, and turned out I actually was a pretty good rider. So when I was 13, I went to work for a trainer, a sort of a crusty old guy named Frank Christmas up in Maryland.
Oh, yeah.
And
I want to ask you something about him, but go ahead.
Oh, he was something. And so I started galloping on the farm when I was in my early teens, and went to Timonium, and then started galloping in the mornings, and learned a lot from him. I was with him for 5 years.
Is that right?
And it was a really good introduction to horse racing, and I got bit by the bug at an early age.
I heard that he used to run horses occasionally barefoot.
Barefoot. We were talking about that yesterday and why nobody ever does it anymore. And he would train horses barefoot, and they all had big, strong feet on them, and then he'd run them barefoot. And I couldn't answer why it's never done anymore, but I look at the health of the feet on the racetrack today, and I'm pretty appalled at the condition of some of the horses that are training in shoes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the Christmas family, he had brothers that trained, and didn't he?
He did. He had a brother that trained, and none of them had the reputation of being the sweetest, most cuddliest people to be around. But I found that behind that gruff exterior, old Frank, he taught me how to chew tobacco, and
there you go.
Yeah, he didn't teach me how to do that. He wasn't much of a drinker, but he was a definite tobacco chewer, and he stood his own stallions. He bred his own mares.
What did he have? Do you remember?
He had a horse called Towson, was his big one. Towson,
T-O-W-S-O-N. T-O-W-S-E-N, yeah.
And he bred a bunch of stakes winners that he actually owned and trained. And, Frank was a guy, if he had money, he'd go to Ocala and buy three or four. If he didn't have money, he'd just keep training his own. He started out Alan Jerkins, which is, back in the old days.
Yeah.
And he was quite a man.
Yeah. What was Timonium like?
Timonium was a literal half-mile oval with no banking, and it was a tough little track. It was, I saw more than one guy blow the turn, and there were some pretty bad accidents in that parking lot on the clubhouse end of it, just because there was a drop-off into the parking lot. So it's been at least 25 years, I would guess, that they enlarged it to 5/8, put some 10-degree banking on it, and it's a much safer place now.
Yeah. They're still run there. I don't think the meeting's too long anymore.
No, it's less than a week, maybe even a couple days, but they still have it. And, of course, the 2-year-old sales have gotten quite big there.
Right. Yeah. Did you ever spend some time at Bowie?
Used to. Boy, used to spend a lot of time at Bowie. We used to do the circuit from Pimlico, Laurel, Bowie, and then Delaware Park in the summer. Mm-hmm. And Delaware Park back in those days was sort of like the Saratoga of the East Coast. Was really a pretty spot.
Yeah. Did you ever get into a lot of people up there doing fox hunting and stuff like that? Did you ever do that, Robbie?
I didn't have time back then, but after I'd been in Kentucky for a while, and when I was about 30, I took it up. And, it has the reputation of being a little hoity-toity, but when you get out there and gallop for 5 hours and you're going from point A to wherever you end up because you follow the scent of the fox, and it's a rough sport. I really enjoyed.
Yeah. Who'd you ride with here in Kentucky?
Rode in Iroquois, hunted in Ireland quite a bit.
Oh, did you?
Those people are just flat crazy and the most fun I've ever had doing it. So that was great. Great sport.
We've got a couple of short films on hunts in Ireland. I never saw so many Irishmen falling in ditches in my life.
They seem to bounce better than us. I'm not sure what it is, but there's some mighty big ditches. You jump up over a ditch, up a 6-foot ramp on the other side, and then you got to jump over the ditch down on the other side of the top. So it's a lot of fun, and great people who do it over there.
Boy, yeah, I'm a big fan of the Irish. Are you still fox hunting? You know, there's a couple of fox hunts around. Well, Iroquois, you said.
Iroquois, I was a whip at Iroquois for 7-8 years, and I was finding that I wasn't able to hunt quite as much as I wanted, and I don't want to say I'm getting older, but I'm old enough I can't do it like I used to, so I've kind of hung up my tack for a while. But I still ride on my farm, and it's a lot of fun.
Well, how long were you with Christmas?
I was with Christmas for 4 or 5 years till I was 18.
Okay.
And
where'd you go from there?
I went to a gal named Linnell Smith. I worked a summer for her, and then I went to Katie Voss for a couple years, and these were all summers because I was going to college. And
where'd you go to school?
I went to Cornell University.
Oh, really?
And I took a sort of never intended to be a vet, never was smart enough to be a vet, but I took a veterinary curriculum. And anyway, worked for Katie, worked for John Forbes, and then came right out of college, went to work for Fasig Tipton.
Okay. Now, who was that Larry Enns who was there at that time?
Larry and John Finney. Actually, it was John who I was working with right out of college.
I knew John very well, and I knew Humphrey as far as that goes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What a guy.
He was a legend, of course.
I mean, he was a legend.
An icon in the business.
Yeah, he surely was.
Did you get to know him very well?
Late in his life, I did. I used to stay at his house.
Along Pisgah Pike?
Yes.
Yeah.
Charming, charming man.
And funny?
Funny, charming, irreverent, and had a real eye for a horse.
You knew him.
Yeah.
Yeah, you sure did. So what did you do with Fasig Tipton?
Oh, I did a little bit of everything. I announced. I believe I was a fish out of water in that capacity. But I did a lot of yearling inspections, and I ran Saratoga toward the end. And I thought I'd take that knowledge I'd gained from valuations of horses at Fasig and running the sales and looking at yearlings to a different business, and went to work with Lee.
Okay. So you came down. You were living in New York at that time, I guess.
Yeah. I had moved. I'd made the move from New York right out in Elmont by the Fasig office was right behind Belmont Park.
Yeah.
And moved down here to the Kentucky offices, and we moved a number of businesses. That was around the time Peter Brandt had bought the company.
Okay. Now, what? Give me a time frame on that.
I'd say he bought the company around 88.
Now, when did they first open sales up down here? With that, remember the tent sale that they had out on? Now,
I can't tell you when they first opened the tent sales. It was in the late 70s.
They sold Bull Forbes.
Sold Seattle Slough out of a tent. And they had the first one in the existing pavilion in 1979, because that was my first summer down here.
Yeah.
And I remember everybody scrambling to try to get the pavilion finished because they were selling in it in 2 days.
I believe they sold the first year they sold Bold Forbes, and it was at the Leestown Road. No. Old Frankfort.
I think it was an old Frankfort.
Yeah. Old Bonnie Bray's farm.
Yep. Lee sold Bold Forbes. That's going way back.
Bold Forbes, and I think the next year they sold Elocutionists.
Elocutionists, then came Slough, and that sale was off and running.
Oh, yeah. So Derby winner in the first sale.
Yeah. Pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah. It was. That was a nice horse, too, Bold Forbes.
Oh, he was. Yeah.
And that's a horse that came up from Puerto Rico, isn't it? Didn't he race down there at first, and then he came up here and
I say, I know Lee owned his mother, and maybe Lee had bought the mother after he saw the horse doing well.
Ah, well, he would.
I really don't remember, but that goes way back.
Yeah, well, tell me about it. But he won the Belmont, too.
Yeah, sure.
So the first 2 years you sold the winners of Triple Crown races. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that got that place off and running, and nothing draws like results.
Yeah,
and Fasig was having quick early results. There were some people way back at that time looking for an alternative to the big game in town, Keeneland, and there were a bunch of smart guys who splintered off, Johnny Griggs, Mr. Courtney, a long list of people, and started the Fasig Tipton brand down here in Kentucky. And I think it was very successful for a long time.
Yeah. I'll tell you something else Lee Eaton did that, and I think in partnership with Johnny Griggs, who I'm sure Johnny's a good friend of yours too.
Yeah.
They started that Macaulay converted the Macaulay Feeds company over to the type of feed that they wanted.
Right.
And, boy, the success that they've had down at Macaulay's has been outstanding.
Well, you know, it's a big pellet, and we still feed it. And yeah. what we've done is, you know, that's one of the great things we inherited from Lee. And
right.
Johnny Griggs worked closely, and Chuck Kidder, too.
Yeah,
the
right,
EKG right. pellet. And that pellet is very easily digestible. You can regulate your feed very easily by shifting a unit at a time, and you can literally in a week watch your yearling put weight over his back while you're getting him ready for the sale. It's a great feed, and we've tweaked it for the last 20 years, and it's been really good to us.
Well, it's been good to them, too, because
yeah.
They're one of my sponsors, and I do every week announce the stakes winners raised on Macaulay's, and my God, that one there, we had a grade one stakes winner for like 4 or 5 weeks in a row, you know.
Yeah. They make a really good feed, and they're nice people.
Yeah. Let me take a break here, and I'll get right back to you. I'm talking to Riley McDonnelly. Well, the October fall yearling sale at Fasig Tipton, Kentucky, starts Monday, and there are 5 youngsters by First Defense and 5 by Mizzenmast in the sale. There are many good reasons why you should look them over. The first foals by First Defense are running. He's the sire of Dundonnell, one of the highest regarded juveniles in Great Britain. Broke his maiden by a dozen lengths, first, then won the Group 3 Acom Stakes and was a closing second in the Group 2 Champagne. And he goes in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf this year, of course, at Santa Anita. Another promising 2-year-old by First Defense, Silver Strike, won first time out on October 5 in a maiden special at Keeneland. And Mira Cardona won impressively on October 10 at Woodbine. One of the best-bred young sires in the world. First Defense is a Grade 1 stakes winner by Unbridled Song out of Grade 1 winner Honest Lady, a half-sister by Seattle Slough, the Empire Maker. Mizzenmast, a Grade 1 stakes winner himself, is sired 3 Grade 1 stakes winners, 5 this year. Stakes winners did distances from 6 to 10 furlongs. Stakes winners on dirt, grass, artificial. Both First Defense and Mizzenmast stand at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Well, La Cloche, winner last weekend of the Grade 3 Athenia at Belmont, was bred and is owned by Phillips Racing Partnership. Was raised at Darby Dan Farm, a valued customer of Macaulay Brothers. The list of fine stakes winners raised at Darby Dan, long and impressive one. There were 2 other stakes winners that were raised by customers of Macaulay Brothers over the weekend. One was Kid Kate, winner of the Classy Mirage at Belmont. He was bred and raised by Del Ridge Farm. And Winner Book, winner of the Permian Basin Stakes at Zaya, was bred and raised at Susie Shoemaker's Lantern Hill Farm. Congratulations to all from the first feed mill in the nation to produce products exclusively for the horse. Macaulay Brothers. The success of Macaulay customers gives ample proof of the quality of the Macaulay product. And the folks at Macaulay Brothers are proud to be associated with many of the finest horsemen in the world, including Riley McDonald, right here. Give Mike Warren and David Longmire a call. Talk to them about your feeding program, 873-3333, or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. Macaulay Brothers, where it's all about the horse. Now, let's see. What am I doing right now? Oh, I got to talk about Jim Fitzgerald over at Knott Griffin Farm. He's got his original Knott Griffin Farm for sale, incidentally. It's right there on 460. Tom Biederman's got it listed. Of course, he's got another farm just close by, so I don't guess he needs 2. But, I don't know how many farms that Jim Fitzgerald has developed and sold, but I can think of 3 or 4 right now, right in the same neighborhood, just about. Of course, Riley here, he came up with some top people himself, Michael Osmond, John Williams over at Spencer Farm, Lee Eaton, Jim. Did you know Jim then, Riley?
Yeah, I actually I hired Jim to run Lee Eaton's farm, and Jim was there for about 2-3 years, but Jim's an entrepreneur.
Oh, I know.
Jim's a good thinker, and he's a good horseman, and he went out on his own and did really well.
Yeah.
Well, and a good guy.
And a good guy, yeah. Well, see, there's a testimonial right there for you. I think he's fox hunting today.
Oh, he's a sportsman, yeah. He's probably out there fox hunting. Now, he has a consignment at Fasig, so he better not be too long chasing the fox.
Okay. Okay. Maybe he's not today, then. I just guess. He's one of the master at hounds at the Woodford Hounds.
Well, I didn't know that, but I know he's an avid hunter and used to be a heck of a show horse guy.
Is that right?
Yep.
I didn't know about that. Well, there's a good guy to know if you're thinking about getting into the horse business. Well, I would suggest that you get in touch with Jim Fitzgerald. If you're in the horse business, you're not doing too well. Well, he's a guy that can give you some good, sound, common sense advice. Here's his number, 987-8032, and Knock Griffin Farm is his website. Let me spell it for you, Knockgriffin, farm.com. Righty. I'm talking to Riley McDonald right here, and of course he owns Eaton Sales now, outright owner. Started out, bought them out. And you're not selling anything in this October sale.
You know, I haven't done it for a long time, and for no other reason than we really like to concentrate between September and the November sales mm-hmm. on what we're going to be selling. So mm-hmm. that October sales become very large in numbers.
Yeah.
And if you're not in the top 20% in that sale, you're either giving them away or you're taking them home,
Yeah. Which
is kind of a tough go. It's a real mixed barrel of fish over there. And I think better business for me to concentrate on November right now.
Mm-hmm.
I was just over there. There's some awfully nice horses. I heard you mention Notional earlier, and I stopped and actually pulled out two nice yearlings that I just happened to walk by, both by Notional. So he must be getting really good offspring right now.
They look good.
They really
do. I really like that sire line.
Yep.
It's not too many people around here, you know. Indian Charlie, he didn't get a whole lot of help starting out.
Yep,
but
that's for sure. And Notional's getting great yearlings, and a couple of those other stallions that they're taking a shot on, they're getting really nice.
His wonderful's a run.
Yep.
He had a nice winner yesterday, I think it was at Belmont. Is it Laurel?
It's an interesting program that they've developed, and it will be interesting to see what the end results are. But yeah, it certainly is a novel approach to getting stallions started, and I'm actually participating in a few, and I think it's a great, great concept.
Okay. Which few, can I ask you?
Well, Line of David.
Okay.
It was one that comes to mind, and I have had two very nice foals by him. Temple City. Mm-hmm. I have two lovely foals by him from his first crop. So, you know.
Yeah, they're weanlings this year, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right, right. Well, what are you selling in November? What do you got coming up?
Well, I have some pretty good mares. I don't have the big hitters that we normally have had, but I've got some really good, solid, upper-end mares that are in the sort of 4 to 7 range. And I have the best group of weanlings that we've ever put together for a horse sale. We're going to run a little ad next week, and if my advertising agent will let me, because I'm not sure if this concept, but I feel kind of like it's Keeneland July in November.
Mm-hmm.
They're that good. We've got everything from a half brother to Uncle Mo.
What's that one by?
That one is by Giant's Causeway. Mm-hmm. And so we've got sort of 25 weanlings in that first couple of days that are knockouts. Mm-hmm. And
it's a Keeneland.
Yeah, it's a relatively, you know, unique thing to do, to take that kind of horse over there, but we're going to give it a shot and hope we can hit the big numbers.
Yeah. Okay. How many weanlings you got in there?
Well, I'm not sure altogether. There are going to be, there may be about 40 altogether.
Okay. You breed horses. You breed yourself.
Yeah, I have, I keep all my mares out in Nathan's. It was a cattle farm. And people told me nothing like going on to a farm that's never been horsed before. So anyway, it was a cattle farm, and I converted it, and I had more fun doing it for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And that little farm with low stud fees going into my cheap mares has put out Daisy Devine, who just had a nice run
fairgrounds
at Keeneland other day.
She won the stakes at the fairgrounds this year.
Well, she was second here in the ladies a couple weeks ago by a nose after a five-month layoff. And Visionaire, and, you know, it's put out a lot of nice horses for the 10 mares I keep there.
You breeding anything to Visionaire? I think he's got...
I didn't, but he is a beautiful horse, and I'm going to go back from here to Fasig to look at some of the Visionaire yearlings that are over there.
That'd be his first crop.
Yeah, would be the first crop.
Okay, Pope McLean's got one over there for sale in his consignment, a Visionaire.
Does he? Well, I'll be looking at a few. He's a pretty horse, and, you know, he has every right to make a sire. You never know, though.
Yeah. How many mares do you have of your own now, Riley?
Well, 100%. Everything on that farm I own 100%. So I have about 10, and it'll be 10 to 12 at any time. And then I own legs and another 10. So it's a very modest little breeding operation.
Sounds big to me.
Well, you know, the last 3 years have been pretty tough for a lot of people. And being a horse farmer, I think, has been very difficult on people. And there have been a number of people who've had to exit the business. You know, the big outfits stay alive because there are other sources of revenue driving them. But so I'm trying to keep it small, stay fairly select, and only breed the mares that are very attractive mares that throw good foals, because at the end of the day, that's what people want.
Yeah. How many acres you have in your farm down at Athens?
Athens, it's about 115.
Okay.
Perfect size. I just built another barn, and we're gonna do a lot of our yearling prep out there next year.
Okay. Now, these are your horses down there.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Because what do you do with the property right next to Fasig Tipton?
That's our commercial side of the business, and that's where we prep all the yearlings. Mm-hmm. We have the foals and the mares being prepped there now. And it gets a rest during the winter. We don't keep mares there any longer.
Yeah.
And then we start to load it back up. You know, we like to reload in April and get ready for the July, August, and September sales.
Yeah. Now, Lee bought that place originally, didn't he?
He did. Yeah. And, you know, I think at some point that place will be worth a lot. It's right on the edge of Lexington, and Mrs. Eaton owns that. We rent it from her. And it's a great setup. Lee set it up purely for selling yearlings. So it's got all the paddocks for colts you need. It's got the round pen, and that's all we do is prep.
How many acres in that little section?
About 120.
100? Is it that big?
Yeah.
I didn't know. Now, you've got Lee's old farm over on Mount Horeb, and right before you get to the creek. There.
Oh, it's a beautiful farm. He raised a lot of good horses on that farm, and I bought that farm. It was close to 300 acres, and had a little hiccup about 8 years ago when my wife traded me in, so I sold that farm to help settle that one.
Yeah.
And anyway, it was bought by two really lovely people who I've come to know well.
You sold the whole farm or just
I did. I sold it to the Yoshida family.
Oh, okay.
Great family, lovely people. Actually, we work with them in selling horses, and they've done very well. It's called Winchester Farm. They run a great operation, and just wonderful people to work with and very knowledgeable.
Winchester, I wonder why they named it that.
I don't know the derivation of the name Winchester for them, but of course, Marie is from France, and Naoya Yoshida is from Japan. Mm-hmm. So it's an international couple, and they're on a really good farm that throws off a lot of good horses.
Oh, yeah, that's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where, of course, Lee lived there for years and years and years.
Oh, he did, yeah.
Yeah.
He sure did.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, I'm going to let you go. I know you're interested to get out to sales. And
well, gonna, you know, nothing like a sunny day in Kentucky. The sun's come out, it's getting warmer, gonna go out, look at good horses at the sales, and then go racing. You know, what could be better?
I don't know. Can't think of anything better. Riley, this has been Riley McDonald. Riley, thanks so much. I'm sorry it took you so long to come in, but, you know, every time I call you here, you were busy.
Well, now that I know you got these good donuts, I'll be back.
Oh, well, there you are. Have it. Grab a donut, Riley. It's Riley McDonald. Riley, thank you.
Thanks, Russell.
It's fun talking to you.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
All right. All right, well, Mooston Farr is compiling an impressive record for sighing hard-hitting winners. From 8 first-crop starters, 5 have won in another's place. Mathiba has won 5 times in Europe and has placed in listed stakes. Groom of Doom won a maiden special at Mountaineer, won again at the same track, and has placed on 5 other occasions. Fortune of Far won a maiden special and has placed 5 times, 4 times at Oaklawn. Ms. Mooston Farr won a maiden special first time out and has 2 wins and a pair of thirds. Mukumar also won a maiden special, came back to take an allowance race and has been 2nd 4 times. Must Be Saved placed 3rd in her first start. She's just sitting on a whim. Now, for those of you who breed to race, Mooston Farr just might be the answer to your prayers. He's sighing hard-hitting runners, and it stands for a very reasonable stud fee. A graded stakes winner at Belmont and at Keeneland, and grade one place, Mouston Farr won over $625,000. He's by Sire Sire's Unbridled, and he stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Ken Barnes. Call him up and ask about that stud season. And see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
To succeed at the races, you need an advantage. That edge is Brisnet.com. Racing's number one website has the value-added information no one else has. In-depth trainer stats, detailed pedigree data, brisk class, pace, and speed ratings, free membership, handicapping contests, exciting monthly giveaway. For a true picture of how the race will be run, discover Brisnet.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
Well, October 13 at Belmont, Boisterous, a five-year-old horse by Distorted Humor, won the grade $350,000 Knickerbocker Stakes for the second year in a row. Bred by Cynthia Phipps and trained by Shug McGahee, Boisterous won the grade 3 Fort Marcian, placed in the grade 1 Manhattan earlier this year. And in 2011, he won the grade 2 Red Smith at Aqueduct, the Three Corns Up Stakes at Belmont, placed in the grade 1 Sword Dancer at Saratoga, and he earned over $646,000. With earners of over $6,591,000, Distorted Humor ranked 6th on the 2012 sire list among stallions now at stud in North America. He's ranked among the top 10 7 times, including number 1 in 2011. Distorted Humor has sired the winners of all 3 Triple Crown races, among them the brilliant Drosselmeyer, winner not only of the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes, but of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic over the likes of Game On Dude, Harvey DeGraw, Flat Out, To Honor and Serve, and Uncle Mo. Drosselmeyer and his great sire both stand at Windstar Farm, and his first foals are due next year. For more information about the Windstar stands, get in touch with Jerry Duffy or Leanna Packard. See the website at windstarfarm.com. Threatening to talk about $20,000 for the last 3 weeks, and I've never had time to finish it, but by golly, I'm going to this.
You do it, honey.
I'm going to do it.
Do it.
If I can find my material over here. He was a foal in 1928. He was by St. Germans. Out of a mare named Bonus by All Gold, and he was bred and was owned by Green Tree Stables. And he was one of the best horses of the 30s. I don't know who would be better that year. Probably maybe War Admiral.
Sure was famous.
And Gallant Fox maybe, but I don't know if Gallant Fox was the measure of this horse or not.
That's another one that was in that kid's game. Gallant Fox.
$20,000.
$20,000.
Yeah.
I guess Seabiscuit or
Jackie's
four.
Talking about a little game that you used to get with little toy horses that you
shake dice and roll the dice. And then they take a step up.
Yeah.
And, yeah. I carried the thing everywhere.
Yeah. And then they had the $20,000 brand of cigarettes that I guess they kind of faded out. Well, anyway, he made his first start on April the 30th at Jamaica and won by 5. Then he came back and ran second. Didn't win a stake. He ran fourth in the Babylon, but then he won the Junior Champion Stakes up in October. That was at Aqueduct, and he beat Equipoise that day. And
that was the one that was in the Equipoise. That was the other one.
Equipoise was one of those.
Yes,
in
Equipoise.
Oh, well, that's pretty good selection for him. Kurt Singer rode him in today. He won by nose. And you said that was a hell of a crop with Equipoise and $20,000. Two great horses in there. Of course, Equipoise went on to be an outstanding stud. He didn't live very long, but he was an outstanding stud. And $20,000 was got the St. German's disease. He was sterile. He was second to Equipoise, got beat a half length in the Pimlico Futurity. Then he ran third in the Walden Stakes at Pimlico. To Mate, and Mate was an excellent racehorse himself. Mate ran, he won the Preakness the following year, which prevented $20,000 from winning the Kentucky Derby. That was one of the years, I should say, where the Preakness was run prior to the Kentucky Derby. Mate was full ride. Well, he went to stud right over here at Clarkland Farm on Bryan Station Road. Sweep All ran second. Sweep All was sweep out of Nettie Hastings by Hastings. Nettie Hastings was also the name of a horse named Peter Hastings, who was by Peter Pan. And Peter Hastings was unraced, ended up in a remount up in Michigan, but he did sire Matt O'Hara, who was a champion two-year-old filly of her year in 1933. Let's see, after he beat Fender in third in the Walden, he won the Wood, beating Clock Tower and Camper. That, of course, was as a three-year-old. And he went into the Preakness, where he got beat by Mate. Mate, incidentally, was third in the Derby. That was the next start for 20 grand. He won the Derby by four lengths, set a new track record of 201-4. It stood until Whirlaway broke it in 1940. Sweep All ran second, and Mate ran third. Came back and he won the Belmont by 10 lengths, beating Sun Meadow and Jamestown, who later sired a real top horse named Johnstown. Then he won the Dwyer under Kurt Singer again, and as a three-year-old, of course, beating Blenheim. That's not Blenheim the second, but this is a horse named Blenheim. It went to stud in Virginia. Ran third in the Arlington Classic to Mate in Spanish Play. Then he came back at Saratoga, and he won the Travers, beating St. Bardot and Sun Meadow. And also that year, he ran three more times. He won the Saratoga Cup by 10 lengths over Sunbow, who was the champion handicap horse that year. He was by Sundridge. And, of course, this was a weight-for-age race. No, it wasn't either. Yeah, it was. Saratoga Cup. It was weight for age because he got in with 118. Sunbow had 126. Then he won the Lawrence Realization, going 1 5/8. The Saratoga Cup was 1 3/4. He beat Sun Meadow and Sir Ashley. And he closed out the season with a win in the Jockey Club Gold Cup, which he won by three lengths over Blenheim again and Barometer. The following year, 19, he didn't do too well. Jimmy Rowe had him up until that time. Somebody else got him after that, and a guy named Walter Brennan, I believe it was. Anyway, he won his first time out at Belmont in an allowance race. Came back and ran second in a handicap at Laurel, and that's all he ran in. They brought him back in 1935, sent him out to California. They were lured out there for the first running of the Santa Anita Handicap, first $100,000 race, as a matter of fact. And he won by 3.5. Excuse me, he was third, got beat 3.5 lengths by a horse named Higley and Mate, his old nemesis. He finished first in his next race, but got it through the disqualification of Equipoise. And then they ran in the Santa Anita Handicap, and that was won by the long shot Azucar, who had been a jumper, former jumper, incidentally, imported horse. He won, and 20 grand didn't show much of anything. He was never a contender. It was a 20 horse field. He ran 10th, got beat a 9 3/4 lengths, and Ladies' Man was second in the Time Supply. And I always thought that was his last start, but it wasn't. They sent him to Europe. And he ran in the Queen Anne Stakes over there and ran out of the money. And then he was out of the money in the, a race called the Rutland Handicap. As a matter of fact, he didn't finish that day. But anyway, he had pulled up lame in his as a four-year-old after his race at Belmont Park that he had won. So he was never himself after that. They brought him to come back, you know, they brought him back here. Well, actually, they found out he was sterile, and they took him to Europe, and that didn't work out either. Then he came back and was turned out over here at Green Tree Stud with the Gas House Gang. So that was 20 grand.
What was taking him to Europe supposed to do?
They were just trying to get him back in training because they knew he could never be a stud, you know.
Oh, I thought maybe there was some kind of one of those strange places that had cures for his ailment.
No, it wasn't. Notional is the side of the crack two-year-old stakes when a risky call in his first crop Second in his debut, Risky Call then finished first in four straight starts, taking the Canadian Juvenile in his most recent start. That was on October 8. Noshal is the sire of 10 starters to date, 5 winners, including a stakes winner, plus 3 others to place. All 3 placed in their very first start, so they're just sitting on wins. Noshal, very good 2-year-old himself, won a maiden special at Santa Anita, 6 furlongs and 109 flat, and placed in graded stakes at 2, but he was really good at 3 in 3 starts. He won the grade 2 San Rafael, the grade 3 Risen Star, and ran second to Scat Daddy in the grade 1 Florida Derby. Came back as a 4-year-old and won the grade 3 Salvatore Mile. Into Mischief and Tis Wonderful, fellow First Cup sires standing at Spendthrift Farm, are also off to solid starts. Into Mischief is the sire of the highly promising Golden Sense, second in the grade 1 Champagne on October 8th. And Tis Wonderful's My Happy Face was a head bobbing second that same day to undefeated Dreaming of Julie in a grade 1 Frisette. There are more runners by Notional, Into Mischief, and Tis Wonderful. Incidentally, Tis Wonderful had another 2-year-old winner yesterday, won by 5 lengths in a maiden special at Law. So there are more runners on the way, so you better book now for 2013. Call Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Phil, and Ed Toffee, 294-0030, and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. Well, got to go. All righty, I got one more to go here. Forgot to tell you, Mary Jane. There's a select sales yearling in the October sale of yearlings at Fazy Tipton. He's hip number 1123. He's a Copa Malibu Moon, and he's a half brother to the stakes winner Northern Causeway, who just placed in another graded stakes on October 8. Now this colt was scheduled to sell at Keeneland, taken out because of a minor injury, but he's 100% now. And here's another plus. He's in the consignment of Indian Creek. For years, a source of world-class runners. 6 champions, 13 grade 1 stakes winners, and graded stakes winners the world over. What a record. Other yearlings of note in the Indian Creek consignment include a hip number 18, a filly by Scat Daddy. That's the first foal out of an allowance winner by Malibu Moon. Hip number 115, a Copa Eddington out of a stakes class producer. Hip number 394 by Zensational. That's a half-sister to New York stakes winner in graded place, My Magic Moment. And there's some other nice ones, all by Aftermarket and Rockport Harbor and English Channel. Yes, It's True, Political Force, Northern Fleet, 5-star and Day, Monarchos. They're in Barn 5. And to ensure your purchases, call the Clayward Agency in Paris, one of the most trusted companies in the world. Number over in Paris now, still an 859 number, 987-1861. Now, they've been in business there since 1931 when Mr. Clay Ward opened that agency, and absolutely they're one of the most trusted names in the insurance industry. So there are two names you can depend on for great performance in the thoroughbred industry, and they are Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency. All right, I got about 5 minutes to go. Maybe I'm finding a real short Palmer here to read to take care of that 5 minutes. It's got to be a short one, though. Okay, here's one. It's written by Joe Palmer many moons ago, half a century ago. Good Lord have mercy. And this seems stranger than fiction, and in a way it is, for it concerns the career of the English horse named Humorous, which raced for J.B. Noel about 25 years ago. Humorous was the son of Polymelus from the Oaks winner Jess, and as a 2-year-old, he seemed something special. Brownie Carslake, who rode him in the Middle Park Plate, said he was a natural stayer. But at 3, Humorous ran old Charles Morton, his trainer, nearly crazy. He would work brilliantly, and then he would be dull as stale beer. It got about that he was moody. He would, and he wouldn't, and then he would go well enough when it wasn't too tough, but lacked heart for serious business. Humorous seemed to endorse this theory in the 2,000 guineas, the big mile race, which is the stepping stone to the Derby, for he was winning easily enough when he stopped suddenly and left Craig and Iran to fight it out with Lemonore. But he won the Derby under the patient hands of Steve Donahue, even then a veteran nearing 40, 2 weeks later at Ascot, he bled after work and was sent back to the training grounds at Wattage to recover. A little lady was found dead in his stall in a pool of blood. An autopsy showed that the hemorrhage which killed Humus resulted from lung tissue which was degenerating under an advanced and long-standing case of tuberculosis. He had only one lung function when he won England's most coveted classic, and even that was not in healthy condition. But somehow he had got himself set for the testing mile-and-a-half journey, and one would rather not imagine the searing pain the last uphill furlongs cost him. But he won, and it killed him. Those who had called him a quitter were somewhat abashed, some of them for as long as 5 or 10 minutes. That's Joe Palmer writing about you.
Oh, I know. That's such
I just read something about that. A mention of Humus just somewhere just the other day.
Is that right?
All right. Well, winners in the last week from out here at the Thoroughbred Center. Tommy Short won with Tommy Short won with Pasture Rise down at the Mountain. Ted Lucas won with Moonshine Bay at Keeneland. Tom Bergen won with Boys I'm Here at the Mountain. Chuck Peary won with Discreet Treat at Hoosier. And incidentally, they canceled racing at Hoosier yesterday after the third race because of track conditions.
It snowed.
And Michael Ann Ewing won with Song Girl at Keeneland. And, of course, they all train out here. Tommy and Ted and Tom and Chuck and Michael all train right here at the Thoroughbred Center. Next week, we're on early from 9 till 11. Kentucky's playing somebody next week. I don't know who it is. Who is it, Dressy? Do you know? Dressy's thinking.
Don't say the winner.
Missouri.
Who is it?
Missouri, maybe?
Is it Missouri?
The new members of the Southeast Conference.
Oh, okay. They're going to Missouri to play.
Oh,
well, maybe
the Show Me State.
Maybe that'll cheer them up in Missouri. Who knows? But anyway, they got the cans kicked in a couple of games already. Somebody's gone down and beaten them to death. I forget
really?
Who it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they'll get better. I sure hope so. Golly, I forgot to call Steve Moody.
We tried. He didn't answer.
He didn't answer.
Oh, good. Steve, not our fault. Not your fault.
It's your fault, Steve. It's your fault, Steve. Okay. We'll get him next week.
And
I want to get the winner.
This show will be up on UrsulaHorsetails.com fairly soon.
Okay. Want to thank Riley McDonald coming on. Fun talking to Riley. And thanks for listening. And we'll talk to you all next week from 9 till 11 instead of from 10 till 12. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You didn't thank me. Who cares about the crowd?